Well, good early morning. We continue our study in Revelation. We're in chapter 12. Today you may have me just do a little more teaching than actual preaching. And because it's very important in chapter 12 that we get what John is trying to convey to us about this spiritual warfare that we're in. We're in a deep spiritual warfare that has been going on for ages, for ages and ages, between God and Satan. And sin has tainted our world, and what we see going on, we see the evil around us, we see the wickedness in the world, we see the harm that people do to each other and to themselves. But there is a spiritual cause behind that that is beyond what we can see. And today, this is what chapter 12 gives us some insight and a reminder of what's happening in your world has a spiritual cause behind it that you are often very unaware of happening. I like what Charles Spurgeon says, "As salt flavors every drop in the Atlantic, so does sin affect every atom of our nature. It is so sadly there, so abundantly there, that if you cannot detect it, you are deceived." How does this spiritual warfare start? How did it begin? Dr. Ron Rhodes said it this way. He says, "Lucifer became so impressed with his own beauty, intelligence, power, and position that he began to desire for himself the honor, glory, and glory that belonged to God alone. This pride represents the actual beginning of sin in the universe, preceding the fall of the human Adam by an indeterminate time." Satan is the one who started sin far, far away from the earth in a place called heaven. We begin reading. I want to share a couple of passages out of Ezekiel and Isaiah and a few others to build up to where we get to in Revelation. Well, let's pray together. Father God, we pray the blessings over the reading of your word. Holy Spirit, we pray you make our minds quick to understand and Lord, put the connections together and this puzzle piece that we're trying to find fitting into Revelation and fitting into our world and our understanding of this wonderful book that you left for us to grow from. Father, help us today. Bless the reading of your word and our understanding that we may grow to glorify you even more. In Jesus' name, amen. So where did this war begin? Where did this battle, this spiritual war begin? Well, in Ezekiel, it says something about Satan getting kicked out of heaven. Ezekiel 28, verse 15 through 19. And verse 17, I just want to focus on, says, "Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and your corrupt, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before kings." Isaiah chapter 14 tells us this. In verse 12 says, "You have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, who once laid low the nations." There are some dual meanings in this Old Testament passages. But we understand the reference to Satan being kicked out of heaven. But listen, even though Satan was kicked out of heaven, he still had access to heaven. You see, Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them." Verse 7 says, "The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' And Satan answered the Lord," says, "'from roaming throughout the earth and going back and forth.'" At this point, Satan still had access to God. Even though he had been kicked out of heaven, even though he had lost his position and he'd been cast down to the earth, he still had access in the spiritual realm to present himself before God, to accuse the brothers. Where did the fall of humanity come? Well, we go back to Genesis because there's a comparison we need to see that's very vivid between Genesis and Revelation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 24, but we'll focus on a few verses just for time's sake. "See, now the serpent was more crafty serpent, Satan, than any other of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat of the tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but did God say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden? And you must not touch it, or you would die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And she gave some to her husband who was with her. So careful, guys, what your wife's cooking now. And he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Now listen, now here's sin. Not only had entered to heaven, because Satan was there and he got kicked out, now it has entered humanity upon the earth. Verse 15 says, here's God putting the curse on Satan. He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between you and your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Verse 16 says, to the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Listen, the fall of Lucifer, a.k.a. Satan, got him cast down to the earth. In Genesis, we see Satan as a serpent, and he's tempting Eve and Adam. And they gave in to the temptation. Yet still, Satan had not lost his access to God. But you see, Satan lost his access to God when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. We'll see that next Sunday, that process. You see, Satan now knows that his time is limited, and he is fierce in his struggle against God and everything that is God's. Notice this transformation about Satan. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, he was known as the serpent. But when you get over into Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, he's called the dragon. You see this intensity from being very crafty and very subtle to a dragon who is ferocious and fierce. From Genesis to Revelation, in the spiritual realm, Satan has transitioned to be more angry at you and at me, because we're God's. We're God's children. We're God's elect. He doesn't like you very much. So now let Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 6. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the heavens, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. God bless the reading of his word. So the church we see today is under continuous assault. Continuous assault. We live in a world where sin is very prevalent. It's all over the place. It's where you go to work. It's on your way to work. It's in your school. Listen, it's even trying to invade our homes. It's all over this world. Christians are constantly tempted by things of the world. Listen, false teaching and heresies threaten to poison the church and lead people astray. And persecution and problems invade believers' lives routinely. More so in other countries, maybe, but we're starting to see even more persecution here in America of believers. We're under attack. But why? Why the suffering? Why the conflict and persecution against us? We love people. We're just trying to help others give a hand up to Jesus. That's all we want, to reach down in their life. Why are we so hated? Why is the evil that God's judgment must be poured out upon? Why so much evil in the world? The answer, well, the world is just not right with God. It's a simple answer. The world is not right with God because of a sin curse over it. You were born with a tendency to sin. See, sin has poisoned every atom of life, and we suffer the repercussions from its effects. God has elect people in the world. He knows us by name. We walk by faith in Jesus Christ our Savior, and He has sealed us with His Holy Spirit, and He provides for our needs. Yet, we will suffer. You will suffer. I will suffer. And we'll be mistreated by this world. There will be people call you names. There will be people who will not give you jobs because you're a Christian. You may even get fired from jobs because of your faith. Chapter 12 is the heart of Revelation. See, it gives us this insight into the spiritual battle that has caused the situation that we see in our world today. Jesus warned us about that in Matthew. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 9 through 14. He says, there will be wars and rumors of war. Nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We see those happening today. And all of these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another. Listen, why is there falling away from the church? Why is there people not persevering? Why do I make it a point for the last few Sundays to pick up an empty chair and point at a camera where somebody needs to be here who says they are a believer? Why? Because Revelation says and warns about a falling away from the church. It's that simple. I love people. I love my church. And I want to pastor them. But the only way I can pastor them is they're here. And I don't want a falling away of people, as the Bible warns. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate each other. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We're living right now what Jesus warned us about during this church age. And that's what Revelation so far has given us a picture of through symbols and visions. But now in chapter 12, it tells us what's really going on behind that. In the world that we cannot visually see, the spirit realm. Listen, it's kind of beneficial for us to do, just to pause for a moment right here. Revelation chapter 12 on through chapter 20, there are four characters that will be introduced to you. And Satan is behind each one of them. First of all, we were just introduced to Satan here in chapter 12. In chapter 13, we'll notice there's someone, the beast or the Antichrist, who rises out of the sea. He's introduced. And the beast is his persecuting power. And then there's another beast later on in chapter 13, around verse 11, that will be introduced, and we'll see him later on in chapters. He's known as the false prophet. And in chapter 17, it's the great prostitute. She will represent the seductiveness of the world. The false prophet will represent the false teaching and the heresies of the world. How many people today gather in huge auditoriums to hear false teachings? Scripture twisted and not held in the context that it was written. See, Satan is behind all of these. All of this opposition towards God's kingdom. But he uses these powers in his fight. Satan uses these powers in his fight. The persecuting beast, the false prophet, the seductive prostitute. So it kind of sets the stage. Here we are in chapter 12. And here's what's coming over the next few chapters. And it just reiterates and helps us understand more of this spiritual battle going on. So let's see three things about verses 1 through 6. And some of you probably say, well, about time you get there, Pastor. You've been preaching 10 minutes and haven't gotten to the text yet. Here we are. The first thing I want you to see is that Satan opposes God and tries to steal his glory. Satan opposes God and tries to steal his glory. What's behind all of this spiritual warfare is Satan wanting God's glory. And he opposes God at every turn. We see in verse 3 and in verse 9 of Revelation 12. It says, then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Verse 9 says, the great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Here symbolizes the fall of Satan out of heaven that we read about in Ezekiel and Isaiah. And his angels along with him. We see in verse 3, the dragon is described as having this weird look. 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. Listen, that's not what Satan physically looks like. It's symbolic. Remember, Revelation is apocalyptic literature. It's images and symbols that stand for something else. I like what Dennis Johnson said. The dragon is said to symbolize Satan's cunning wisdom, the 7 heads. His great power, the 10 horns. Horns always stood for power. An authority to influence others, 7 crowns. Power, leadership over others. All of this symbolism can be found in the Old Testament. There's a connection. Listen, the things that we read and understand in Revelation can have an Old Testament flavor to it. It's symbols that we've seen, not maybe in just one passage, but through the whole book, the whole Old Testament. It's kind of like a mosaic of Old Testament images put together. So when the dragon is described in verse 3 of chapter 12, we should be reminded of the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. It should cause us to be reminded where God defeated Satan. He was kicked out. The imagery of the 10 horns is drawn from the description of the fourth beast in Daniel 7. What we have in this imagery of a dragon is simply that, an image or a symbol. Satan doesn't look like that, but it tells something about his character. So when John describes what he saw, and he writes it down for us, this dragon with 10 heads and 7 heads and 10 horns and having all this power and stuff, he's wanting us to understand something about the evil nature of Satan and the power that he has over the influence, over the world of darkness in the world today. Even his red color represents his bloodthirsty appetite to slaughter Christians, to martyr Christians. Satan is opposed to God. He hates God. He is that ancient serpent who is cunning and crafty, who deceives and manipulates. He is ferocious and bloodthirsty. He is powerful and has authority over the dark world of evil. He wages war against God's kingdom using the powers of persecution, false teaching, and seduction. Satan is the source of all opposition to God. People who are rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior are falling right into the palm of Satan's hands. Think about this example to understand how Satan works. See, you and I don't see Satan. We see the effects of him around. Imagine during World War II, Allied soldiers over in the European theater, kind of fits for Veterans Day. Allied soldiers over in the European theater. They're facing Germans across the lines, the enemy lines. They see the machine gun fire. They see the grenades going off. They see the tanks rolling in, destroying and crushing everything. They see the soldiers. This battle going on between the Nazi soldiers and the American soldiers, or the Allied, the British included. There's this war going on. But what they can't see is who's calling the shots for the enemy. Hitler, buried down in a bunker somewhere, and his top comrades calling the shots of where to go for this piece of the war and this piece of the war. Imagine that. In the same aspect as Christians today, we're in this battle in this world. We can see what's going on. We see the effects, but we can't see in the spiritual realm. Satan bunkered down somewhere, calling the shots around us to affect your life, to affect mine, to affect our neighbors. But here we're getting a better glimpse of it. See, Revelation reveals that there's more going on in the spiritual realm than what we see. We see its effects in our world. There's a dark spiritual force behind the sin, behind all the craziness and the wickedness in our world. There's a dark force behind that. Yet in this ancient spiritual battle, it comes close to a close very quickly in Revelation 20. So listen, as we see this world suffering, and we know there's a war in the spiritual realm going on, Revelation 20 already gives us the security that it comes to an end very quickly. Verse 10 says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Listen, Christians, we know victory's coming. We know when Christ returns, victory is ours. So we gain great knowledge and understanding as we see in this world that we're living in that Satan is very active because he opposes everything God. Because see, the second point from this passage is that Satan despises God's people. Satan not only opposes and hates God, he hates you too. Satan is opposed to God's people. He despises believers. He has hated God's elect, and he opposes us at every turn since the Garden of Eden. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain, and she was about to give birth." So, the natural question for us, who is this woman? Who is this woman that John writes about? Well, some theologian in the Roman Catholic faith would have this woman symbolize Mary, the mother of Jesus. And there's some truth in that. Other theologians, dispensationalists, futurists, will usually say that this woman symbolizes ethnic Israel, who would be persecuted for 3.5 years during the Great Tribulation yet in our future. Well, there's some truth in that it does contain some of Israel in there. See, both of these, though, you can't say it's just Mary by herself, and you can't just say it's Israel by themselves. Both of these are a little too narrow in scope. You see, it's better to see that this woman symbolizes God's people, the elect of God under the old covenant and the new covenant. In this wider view, Mary is a vital part of the bigger picture of this woman, but not the only one who is symbolized here, because later on in the text, it reveals that. See, the image of the woman is communicating a much more profound message than a single individual or a single nation. God delivers us. We read in earlier where in Genesis chapter 3, God delivers the promise to the serpent and to the woman and man. The curse is upon them. In verse 15, we read, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now listen, Genesis 15 right here is not talking about how bad we hate snakes. It's not talking about, hey, there's a snake, stomp him before he bites you. It's not talking about that. There's a much deeper meaning to this. You see, here in Genesis 3:15, the gospel is first announced. Man had fallen. Man was now alienated from God, being now at enmity, which means being opposed, being very hostile toward God. But God in His grace would provide a Savior who would stomp the head of the deceiver and thus bring salvation to man. See, there's a spiritual meaning even in Genesis. Now, you may hate snakes, but this is not the reason. So who is this Savior? Who is this Redeemer? It's the one who defeated the serpent and will destroy him fully and finally in the end. This is Jesus Christ. He's talking about even in Genesis. We get the gospel message. Remember, the dragon heard this firsthand. He was there as the serpent. And God told him then, listen, there's going to be hostility between her offspring being Christians, being the elect of God, and your offspring being unbelievers. See the spiritual meaning behind that? There'll be opposition. There'll be hostility. And we see it in our world today. The world hates you, Christian. As much as you try to love them to Christ, as much as you give them, we'll send these boxes around the world from our church and surrounding sister churches to try to get in to let Jesus Christ be glorified through us to these people. And there are a lot of hostility out there. There are a lot of people who oppose anything coming into their country called Christ. Anything. There's this enmity between God's chosen, God's elect, Christians, those who receive salvation and those who choose not to. The scripture records for us from that time on that hostility between the offspring of the woman and offspring of the serpent, the people of God facing the hostility of the people of the world, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world are at odds and often clash. The scripture tells us about the spiritual battle that is evident in our physical world. Throughout scripture, listen, throughout history, Satan has been opposed to God and his people all along. The woman in Revelation 12 represents more than just the mother of Jesus. She is symbolized all believers from Israel who are saved by faith under the old covenant. So there was a remnant of Israel that was saved by faith, not the whole nation. So yes, it does include Mary, and it includes this whole remnant of people by faith in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament, we'll see. Verse 1 says, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This is a direct reference over in Genesis 37 about Joseph's dream. Joseph has a dream where his dad, Jacob, is the sun. His mother, Rachel, is the moon. And she has 11 stars on her head, Joseph being the 12th. Direct reference. So this lineage of faith in Israel is included in this woman that we read about in Revelation. You see, verse 17 says a dragon, but it also includes God's people, the church of today. See, the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of the offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony in Jesus Christ. See, this woman symbolizes the people of God of every age. The dragon is opposed to her and seeks to devour her. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that, be alert and be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. We are under attack. We are that woman that John talks about here, representative of all God's people. The third thing I want you to see, that Satan is opposed to Jesus Christ. Satan is opposed to God because he hates God. Satan is opposed to you and me, the church, because he hates God. And because he hates God's people. He hates all things God. And he hates God's Messiah, Jesus Christ. See, who is the dragon most concerned about in this passage? His objective is to devour the child that the woman is having. Clearly, this passage refers to the Messiah, the Savior of the world, God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ. Remember over in Matthew chapter 2, we're fixing to celebrate Christmas. Matthew 2 reminds us how the dragon sought to destroy the Christ child from the moment of his birth through the beast named Herod. Over in Matthew chapter 4, reminds us how the dragon sought to lure Christ into sin when he brought him out into the wilderness. But God sustained him. And all through Jesus' ministry, he faced hostility and endured it by the religious people, whom Jesus at one point called the children of the devil in John 8. You see, Satan was after Jesus. And Revelation reminds us of that. That he sought to devour him from the day he was born. Reflecting over Jesus' life, surely the dragon thought that he succeeded finally destroying Christ with his crucifixion. So he didn't get him at the birth. He didn't get him in temptation. He didn't get him with all the persecution coming against him from the religious elite. But he surely thought he had him at the crucifixion. Do you imagine the rejoicing that Satan had when Jesus breathed his last? Can you imagine the demons going crazy? Could you imagine the party that they had? That Satan had finally won. After all the ages of spiritual war, Satan thought he finally won. But then Jesus, on the third day, rose from the dead and ascended to God's right hand. We see in verse 5 of Revelation 12 from this text that she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule over the nations with an iron rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God. To his throne. That's the ascension. He rose from the dead. The ascension. Now the serpent knows his time is very limited. He knows he's been defeated. He cannot stop God's Messiah from delivering the fatal blow to his head. Remember back in Genesis that her offspring, Eve's offspring, will crush his head? See, here Jesus did it at the crucifixion and the resurrection. Now Christ has victory. So what else could the dragon do now except pursue his people? Pursue the people of God. Pursue the church. Pursue Christians. The Bible says, into the wilderness for this 3.5 years, this time of church age. But just as God was able to keep Christ protected till the time was fulfilled for him, so too God can keep us protected to the time of fulfillment of his second coming. God has prepared us. God is in giving us his word for encouragement. He's giving his Holy Spirit to us to live in this life so we can detect false teaching, so that we can say no to the seductiveness of the world, so we can say no to the spiritual battle, even though we can't see what Satan's doing. Say no to the effects that's all around us. Remember this, what Paul writes to the Ephesian church, chapter 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Oh, church, that's a lot to cover in 6 verses. That's why we broke it up. We're in a spiritual battle. John writes to us to help us understand this battle is way beyond what we can see. It's not because your neighbor hates you. It's because the devil is working behind the scenes to entice your neighbor to hate you. There's people who get mad at you. Listen, I know there are people getting mad at me all the time. It just kind of goes with the territory. Most of the time, it's just on them, because they're mad at God about something. They can't figure it out. I know that Satan is behind that. Once we get an understanding as we live in this church age, that the war, the sin, the things we see behind us, the deceptiveness and the seductiveness of the world and the false teachings that's coming across, that as Christians we just gasp. It's like, that's not biblical. People follow it. Sounds right. Sounds close enough to the truth, but it's not the truth. That Satan is working behind the scenes all along. Do you see why, as your pastor, I want people here getting their footing in God's Word, getting a solid foundation to grow with? Because there's a lot of garbage out there that Satan is bringing across as looking so real and so right, but it's not. We're in a spiritual battle, but we also know that the victory is already ours. Let's fight to the very end. Endure and persevere. Let's pray. Father God, today, thank you so much for your great love. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for allowing us to see the bigger picture now. Not a little simple tied up message, but God, the bigger picture of what's really going on in our world around us. Thank you for entrusting those truths to us and for us seeing the symbols and images there that have been hidden from us for years, and encouraging us to persevere to the very end. In Jesus' name, amen.